Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joins us after another Zoom special last night. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. So you are now a member of the Protect Michigan Commission. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was happy to be appointed by Governor Whitmer to the newly formed and organized Protect Michigan Coalition. It's a body of a bipartisan body of a number of different leaders from across the state, from the nonprofit community to the business community to local government and so forth, that is tasked with working to educate the public about the importance of getting vaccinated and the importance of doing what we can to get others vaccinated to help protect the public health around COVID and start to, you know, get our local economies reinvigorated again with those vaccinations. So, you know, it's, as the vaccine continues to roll out, I think that's going to be one of the most important things that we can do individually and as collective communities this year, is to get ourselves vaccinated and encourage others to get vaccinated.
Is the mission to find people that, Derek, that aren't really, that might not be in the healthcare system?
Yeah, I think the mission is to connect with as broad of coalitions and communities as possible. I know that there's a contingency that even with measles and other vaccines, chooses not to get vaccinated. I think that the climate of the last year and kind of the politicization of the vaccine and the coronavirus that we saw kind of drag out in 2020 and just the misinformation in the world that we live in a world of misinformation and disinformation has created a lot more challenges for public health officials to make sure that people know the importance of getting vaccinated. So now that we have administration that's working to try to get the vaccine out to as many individuals in many states as possible and do that as expeditiously as possible, I think it's important that we work diligently to educate or re-educate people across the state, across cities like Jackson, to get vaccinated, to talk about the benefits of it, and to encourage people to do so that we can start to return to some degree of normalcy, not only protect ourselves, but protect those who come into proximity with us that are more vulnerable to contracting COVID than maybe ourselves.
Yeah, we heard from Biden this morning that there's not exactly a large supply of vaccine right now, but if we can get that into the pharmacies, won't that make it a lot easier?
Yeah, I think that's one component, and I had an opportunity to talk to the governor directly about this a number of weeks ago, both in kind of relaying what I'm hearing from our local public health officials in the conversations that we've had. Mm-hmm. That you know, the getting the vaccine to, you know, the pharmacies of the world and the Myers of the world is good and will help with mass distribution and getting shots into arms. But I also think that when we look to other problems that we face, like with food security and the food deserts that we have in Jackson, that points to a problem of people in some communities not even being able to get to those pharmacies or to Meijer. You know, I got on a before my last day to the city, got on the bus at Nixon Park, and it took me 2 hours round trip to get to the Eastside Meijer. So it's a problem we face. It's certainly a challenge to overcome with vaccine distribution. That's why I think that it's important that we continue to get portions of the vaccine flowing to local health departments, so that we can, as a community, as a county, and as a municipality, continue to get that vaccine into the arms of vulnerable populations, populations that maybe can't get to a Rite Aid or a Walgreens or a Meijer, and do that work intentionally. So that's what we're working on with the Jackson County Health Department. We've actually stood up some of our old fire stations to that effect. We're looking at some other facilities that the city owns to do more of mass vaccination drive-through operations. So, mm-hmm. you know, the city's going to continue to lead Jackson in helping to get the vaccine out there. And, you know, I hope that we can take some of those lessons learned and work with other actors across the state and helping to encourage people all across Michigan to get the vaccine and help protect the public health.
At the meeting last night, housing was certainly, I guess, probably the biggest topic. Can you address that?
Yeah. I mean, housing is always a incredibly important and challenging topic for the city. We've done a lot to stabilize our housing market here in the city with an aggressive demolition program. Now we're building out new housing. I think what we were looking to do last night in the public hearing was to elicit some feedback on how we can continue to use our CDBG funds, our CDBG CV funds that we've got particular to the coronavirus pandemic, and how we can use some of our home funds to help with the local housing market and to build out some of the housing supply that we don't have, some of the stock that we don't have, some of the townhouses, things like that, but how we do it in a more equitable way so that we're making sure that we get a variety of income supported within our housing portfolio here. So market rate housing, low to moderate income housing, how can we use some of these funds to help support the chronically homeless population. So we got a large variety of feedback. We'll incorporate that into our future plans for those federal funds. And, you know, I think we've already made a lot of progress, both in some of the buildings you see going up downtown. Those are going up because we did a target market analysis on what our housing market lacks and what the demand can support. And so that's why that supply is getting built out with developers right now, not necessarily with city funds, but with investors that are coming in to meet that demand. So I think that'll continue, and we'll continue to figure out ways that we can partner with the nonprofit sector here in the city to help build more housing stability and build kind of pipelines of access to home ownership here in the city of Jackson.
Yeah, it's just so happens today is the point in time count day. The homeless count is taken today, and I know you guys address that frequently.
Yeah, it's something that we've participated in the past. Certainly, you know, they get a lot of volunteers to go out and count individuals. You know, we've worked closely with the Interfaith Shelter and continue to do so and work with others in the chronically homeless space that maybe, as we have talked about before, can't or for a variety of reasons can't stay at a congregate homelessness shelter situation. And so, you know, there's a variety of different things that I think we have to pursue, working with the Interfaith Shelter and working with other actors in that space. And those are some of the conversations we're having right now with United Way of what the future of service to that population looks like and how we can help lift people that do fall into homelessness back on their feet and get them into stable housing, some sort of stable maybe apartment, and then step them into home ownership and building equity themselves.
You guys did talk about West Ave and Morrell.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I hold my breath when I go through there at 3:45 in the morning.
Yeah, you know, that's something that Councilmember Forgrave and I have talked about a lot. We've exchanged some ideas, and we talked about that with the city manager and city engineer last night on the city council meeting. It's a dangerous intersection. You know, I think people get used to, frankly, we've had accidents both ways, coming on Morrell and
sure.
Coming down west. So I think people just kind of get, you know, there's a long stretch of road before there. I'm not sure exactly. It kind of varies, the reasons why we have those accidents there. A lot of people in the neighborhood figured it was a big pine tree that was on the northeast corner, and so we worked with the owners of that property to remove that, to maybe improve visibility. Still seems to be happening. I think we have to maybe take a look at that intersection and consider some traffic calming measures to slow traffic, you know, visual elements to really slow that traffic so that we prevent future accidents, future injuries, and future loss of life.
Yeah, I think people try to beat that light quite frequently.
Yeah, that and, you know, sometimes there's people that aren't paying attention or
sure.
what have you, but it can be dangerous. And we have another, something I talked about last night, we have another dangerous kind of area right along East Michigan Ave out in front of the hospital. I know we've had a lot of frontline workers. There's a lot of people that work for Henry Ford Allegiance Health that are scared, you know, crossing East Michigan Ave. So we're working with MDOT. They're coming up with some longer-term fixes, but last night we talked about what sort of short-term fixes we can have, both at the intersections and the lights there, with the full stop at the left turn and other things that we can do to protect those that, frankly, are risking their lives to protect us during the pandemic. So that's one of the other areas of concern for some sort of future traffic control order.
Nothing from the Attorney General?
Nothing yet. Nope.
Okay. God, we got to check on that.
It might be a while.
Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Take care.